Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, hello. I'm Matt Williams. This is the Locked On NFL podcast here on a Tuesday. What do we got shaking here? We're around, and that'll be the end of Matt as the GM mock draft. I think we have to mention that Adrian Peterson is a Saint. I don't see this as a slight on Mark Ingram. I just kind of see it as a win now move. Let's see what this guy's got. They always do have a physical downhill runner in that offense. It's an overlooked aspect. I'm sure it's going to cut into Ingram's production, of course, but I don't think that's a slap in Ingram's face or anything like that. Still, I didn't see that coming at all, and I don't really see the fit. I mean, it doesn't light me up, that's for sure, but it's a good offensive line. Breeze and Peterson could make some beautiful music together, I guess, but I think it also sort of indicates that Peterson ain't what he used to be. The other running back news is Gillisley, a restricted free agent from the Bills. The Pats snagged another player out of their division, and he's not exactly LeGarrette Blount or Corey Dillon, but I assume he's going to be the big running back, and that eliminates the need for re-signing Blount. You know, I said a million times I thought Peterson might end up there, drafting a Dante Foreman, something like that. He's a good player. He's a real good player. He's a quality player. I mean, but this move, what excites me most about this move is I think Jonathan Williams has a chance to be a really good player, and now he's less blocked in Buffalo as Shady's backup. McCoy still playing really, really well, don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't blow me away if, you know, he's on the back nine, you know, so to speak. Jonathan Williams is a guy to think about in this whole process that could really be a factor down the road. I liked him a lot a year ago. So, back to the mock. We are going to finish it up. We got through 52 picks. I am not going to review round one. That all happened last week. Go back and check it out on the Locked On NFL podcast. I will review round two, and we did that over two different shows. The Browns opened round two with Obi Melifonwu. The Niners went and got Quincy Wilson. Jacksonville took Taylor Moton. The Bears took John Ross. The Rams got Pat Elflein. Chargers took Mitchell Trubisky. Jets took Sidney Jones. Panthers took Dalvin Cook. The Bengals took Dan Feeney. The Saints took Cordarrelle Tankersley, and it doesn't sound like Butler's going to end up there by all accounts of people that are in the know. Eagles took Carl Lawson. The Bills took Deion Dawkins. Arizona took Deshaun Watson. Colts took Buda Baker. The Ravens took Taco Charlton. The Vikings' first pick was Dorian Johnson, my man from Pitt. Washington took Zach Cunningham with their second pick. Tampa Bay took Jabril Peppers, and I urge you, I wrote an article about him after his failed drug test. Please go check that out. It'll be on my timeline today, I'm sure. Denver took Juju Smith-Schuster, and an underrated need for them as a third receiver as well as a tight end. The Browns continued to pound into their secondary and took Akello Witherspoon with the 52nd pick, which brings us to the Lions at 53. Nearby Michigan State, Malik McDowell. Seems to me that the opinions vary on this guy. Obvious talent, work ethic issues. People always say if you go watch the Notre Dame game, he would have been a top 10 pick. You know, he flashes that ability a lot. The Lions could use help really all over their defensive line. He's a different type of defensive lineman than what they have. At this stage of the game, I think it's worth the risk. You know, there's a lot of talk of him being a first rounder. I bet he isn't. Miami also needs a lot of defensive line, defensive tackle help. You know, they've got two guys basically and no depth. Maybe they would be more in the market for a nose tackle type. But I gave them Caleb Brantley. And I gave them Brantley before these off-the-field issues. Supposedly, he got in a fight with a woman, allegedly. And none of that is going to be resolved before the draft, which is crazy, you know. So what's the ramifications for him on that? Reportedly, that incident happened on April 13th, but law enforcement isn't going to be able to give any kind of answers on his guilt or innocence. So that's a bit of a projection, obviously. I mean, I don't know that the Dolphins could take him there. Maybe they would have to go a different direction. To be very honest, I wrote this up before I got that news yesterday, and it would screw up all the picks after it. So as of this, the Dolphins are taking Caleb Brantley. Get over it. That's the way it's going to be. But I would think his stock drops, not like Leo Collins, but kind of, you know, that you got a major looming issue, from the law right around the draft, and these teams aren't going to know the outcome of it. How do you invest a high pick in somebody like that? All right, now I'm going to take a quick second here to tell you about our buddies over at SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football games or any games, you know, or concerts that you want. A bunch of us are going to probably go see Chris Rock here, and we use SeatGeek for that in Pittsburgh. See you up close in person. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I do have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I'm going to use it probably for some Pens teams coming up here too. They advance the second round of the playoffs. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek prices compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats that are able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, you guys all get a $20 rebate off your first purchase, and this is what you do. Get $20 back, you download the SeatGeek app, you go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code LONFL. SeatGeek will then send you $20 in the mail after your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL today. All right, let's get back to this mock. To finish this up, the Lions took Malik McDowell. The Dolphins took Caleb Brantley, even with the thing hanging over. We're just going to ignore that for this second for the process of this. The Giants take an offensive tackle and much needed Antonio Garcia. I don't know if he's going to play left or right. I don't really care. I just know that they absolutely need a tackle. Flowers is not getting it done. The right side wasn't any better. It's a real problem area, and I really think the Giants in the top two rounds almost have to get a tight end, or get a tackle. After getting a tight end in round one, that's why I had tight end on my brain, David Njoku was just too good to pass up. So they're enforcing the offense. I like it. Oakland, they're doing the opposite. They're enhancing the defense. They took Humphrey, the corner from Bama, and now they're going to take Raquan McMillan as a maybe not in every down, but a highly productive inside linebacker, leadership traits. I think that's a position that very much needs addressed for the Raiders. I like that fit quite a bit for them. Ideally, you'd love to get a Reddick or a Foster or an every down guy. Duke Riley crossed my mind at this point too, but I think they need a, you know, I thought McMillan was a little more valuable for the Raiders as a run stuffer, something they certainly could use. The Houston Texans in the first round took Cam Robinson, and I don't know that he'll even last that long. And I told you, I mean, if you're the Texans, you have to go tackle, maybe guard, but you know, offensive line and quarterback. And quarterbacks have fallen. Nate Peterman's still on the board. He's kind of a boring option, of course, but that's what they've had here. It's not what I wanted to settle for at the position. I definitely wanted a more flamboyant franchise type guy, but they've won a lot of games over the years with the Matt Schaubs and the Hoyers and these type of guys, and I would think O'Brien would be you know, would like Peterman quite a bit, and he would compete immediately for a starting spot. They need that aspect of a quarterback to come in. Probably has a really good chance to be the opening day starter. So, not a real flashy pick, but I think it's something that needed to happen. Same here with Seattle. They went corner in the first round. I just took the best offensive lineman available, and I didn't really like what was out there. And Ethan Posick, the center, probably could play guard. He's a very tall center from LSU. Maybe even could play tackle. I understand they have a guy like this in Justin Britt, who's a tall center, but I just took a best offensive lineman available. Figure out where to put him after that, you know, after they get to camp. Britt has some tackle experience. Posick could play guard. Ideally, you'd love to have a pure tackle, but those guys don't grow on trees, and they are gone. Seattle went corner, so they have to live with what's left, and that's Posick in this example. We go back-to-back LSU guys with Kansas City taking Duke Riley, a highly active, playmaking, a lot of range linebacker, you know, and Derek Johnson began his career as that type of guy too. I mean, Johnson came out the year I was in Cleveland, and we looked at him as, man, he doesn't take on blocks. He's a true will linebacker. He needs to operate in space. Riley has some similarities. The Chiefs took DeShone Kizer near the end of the first round. Now this is more of a win now mode for Kansas City. Linebacker to me is a certainly a need. The Cowboys absolutely have a need in the secondary. There were several ways you could have went with this pick. I took a kind of a, I wouldn't say an easy way out, but I would say it's a little bit of a safer pick with Chidobe Awuzie. I had thought about Fabian Moreau there, but with Moreau's injury, Dallas is kind of in win-now mode. I don't think they can hang around and wait. I think they need a guy to play snaps right now. They addressed their pass rush in the first round of my mock. I took Charles Harris. And I got to say, since taking Charles Harris, I'm hearing more and more that he could go even higher. You know, and pass rushers go quick. Maybe Harris ends up, don't be shocked if on Thursday, if Harris ends up in the, you know, top 15 or so. I mean, maybe the Ravens at 16. Different conversation, though. That's not what we're doing here. So I gave Dallas Awuzie and just a need. You know, I mean, I think you got to, if you're going to get a defensive end, now it's time to attack that secondary. But Dallas isn't short on needs either. I mean, tight end is certainly a need for them. Their offensive line doesn't look exactly like it used to. I'm worried about the Cowboys going forward.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right. So far in this portion, the end of round two, Malik McDowell went to the Lions. Caleb Brantley went to the Dolphins. Garcia went to the Giants. McMillan goes to the Raiders. Nate Peterman to the Texans. Ethan Posick goes to the Seahawks. Duke Riley to Kansas City. Awuzie just fell to Dallas. That leaves us Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and the Panthers. If you recall, they traded with the Coney Ealy deal to take New England's pick at the end of second round. So the Packers, they went Adoree Jackson, who's a little slender and lighter than they probably want at the corner position, but certainly a need. And I think they go with the big back here is who I would have taken in Samaje Perine. I think people are sleeping on him a little, you know, because Mixon was there. I think Perine's a fine prospect, you know, end of round two, middle of round three type of guy. Big power back. We talked about this a lot, that I think they need their Eddie Lacy, you know, when you're up in games to put teams away, to play in the harsh conditions, you know, NFC Championship game in Green Bay. I want a 230-pound running back on my team that's a quality player. So Perine fits that mold, but Green Bay is not an easy one. You know, there's a lot of directions this team could go. I mean, would they consider edge pass rush? I mean, what are their thoughts on Clay Matthews? Defensive line could use some depth. I don't like their linebackers all that much, but they don't seem to address that. Offensive line took some hits. So I went with P. Ryan. Brings us back to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh took an edge pass rusher, T.J. Watt, in the first round. I gave them Fabian Moreau. I understand that he's injured. I don't think he's going to be in a redshirt situation this year. Big physical, high upside, low floor type of guy. Rolling the dice here a little bit. But if he hits and you got, you know, can match him with Artie Burns, I think you could play a lot more press man coverage, have a lot more size at this position. I think the Steelers are good enough at corner that they don't have to rush him in there. Not that they're great at corner, but they won a lot of games with those guys last year. So I like the Moreau pick here. But, of course, a lot of this is medically related. The Falcons still have not taken their guard, which to me is their biggest need. In the first round, they took Tack McKinley. And I think they would welcome that pick. You know, I think they do need some athleticism and youth at the edge position. It's a little bit of a luxury, but that's a great luxury to have. This roster doesn't need a lot. The young secondary was really impressive and shows a lot of potential. They went with a safety last year in the first round, a much different type of safety in this pick, in Justin Evans, who I think is much more of the free. And that's not a knock on the guys they have, but this is a really good player too. I mean, I bet he ends up going higher than the 63rd pick overall. Maybe much higher, at the very beginning of round two. And I think he has the free safety qualities that you'd look for in the Earl Thomas position in this defense. So Atlanta still needs to find a guard, but there wasn't one there that I loved. Sometime on, you know, coming up in the near future, they're going to have to do it. Brings us to the last pick of the Matt Mock draft, of me being the GM here and doing what I want to do for every pick. And that's the Carolina Panthers. They, too, take a safety. There's a lot of safeties at this part of the draft that are highly attractive. And in the reality of it, I do think a lot of these guys are going to go earlier. I went with Eddie Jackson. He's kind of a forgotten guy because of injuries at Alabama, and there's so much talent around him. There was a lot of safety directions I could have went with this pick. Carolina already has Dalvin Cook in the fold for this deal. And in a strange situation, they ended up with Jonathan Allen in the first round. So I took a safety here. Again, it's kind of like the Atlanta situation. I hate to go three picks for the Panthers without taking an offensive lineman, but I just didn't see a guy to take, you know, and it leaves a lot of good players on the board. And it doesn't mean I don't dislike some of these guys, but Willis, Rivers, Tim Williams, Godwin, Kamara, Bowser, Jones, like I said, there's a couple safeties. Moyle, you know, there's a couple safeties that are really exciting. Lewis from Michigan, Tease Tabor. So it just shows you it's a really deep draft. You know, Samuel, the do-it-all weapon from Ohio State. A lot of these guys that I just said that didn't get picked in mine, of course, are going to get drafted in, you know, the top two rounds of the draft. It's just not how it went with them, the way I was viewing each team. But this was fun. We got a lot of positive feedback from you guys. It was not my plan at all. But I think what I'm going to do, so I don't think we're going to have a show Thursday. I gave you an extra one Sunday. Because by the time you listen to it on Thursday, the draft's going to happen. So I'm thinking about making tomorrow Twitter Wednesday with all draft-related stuff. It doesn't even have to be. It could be anything. You can ask my favorite sandwich. I don't care. I think we'll make Twitter Thursday on a Wednesday this week, and then we'll hit it hard on Friday, recapping round one, as opposed to recording something in the middle of the day, Thursday, talking about the best day of the year, and by the time you listen, you know, the draft's about to happen, and it's all shot. So give me some questions. Flood my Twitter account, at WilliamsonNFL, for tomorrow. We will record something and just answer questions all day. And then Friday, I'm going to talk round one. All right, there you have it. Spread the word. Yay, leave me a good note on iTunes while you're at it. Just go and do it. Give me 5 stars and say Williamson's great and it's a great podcast, blah, blah, blah. All right, see ya.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.